Our scripture reading this morning is in Matthew 5, Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. After we have our special music, Jared's going to present the word to us this morning. We're glad that he's here with us this morning and maybe hear a little bit about what's going on in Oswego and hear what he has to present. We're glad that a young person has the courage to stand up and give the message that the Lord wants him to give. And so we're glad that he's here with us this morning.
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. It's great to be here today. Before I get started into the message, just like to give a short report of what's going on up there in Oswego. As probably most of you know, I'm working as a Bible worker up there, so I don't always get the chance to come down here and worship with you guys. Currently, there's around 15 to 20 people attending every week up there, and last month we had a baptism here. I think many of you were there, but there was two people that were baptized from Oswego, and by God's grace there'll be many more to come, right? Currently on my schedule I have around 25 Bible studies, about 15 in homes, 10 drop-offs, something like that. So aside from door knocking and doing Bible studies, I also follow up these cards that people send in and requesting Bible study. So I'm keeping pretty busy up there. And if you guys ever want to come up to Oswego and visit us, you're more than welcome. We'd love to see you up there. And throughout the sermon today, I have a few illustrations that I'll use stories from my work up there. So hopefully you'll be able to hear a little bit of some things that have been going on as I'm out door to door doing work for the Lord. All right, well, the sermon today, sermon title is called, And How Do We Keep Silent? Ask that question. And why do we keep silent? And it revolves around a story found in the Old Testament, a story of Samaria. Now, Samaria was a city that was under siege by the Syrians. And when a city is under siege, what happens is they're surrounded by the enemy, and no one is allowed in, and no one is allowed out, right? So therefore, the city would then starve to death. And Samaria had been under siege for a very long time, and they found themselves starving. They became in a hopeless situation. And there seemed to be chaos and desperation everywhere. Yet, amidst all of this, God had a plan. And four very unlikely candidates brought a message of hope to each and every one of the people in that city, a message that actually changed their lives for the better. And today, we are living in a situation where many times people are dying without hope, right? Starving for the Word of God. And as we look at the world around us with all of the natural disasters and all of these sort of things, we see chaos and desperation, right? And God has given each and every one of us a message of hope, a message of deliverance to give. So today, as we go through this story, I pray that we will be able to learn lessons that will inspire us to give this message of hope, this message of deliverance to those around us who are in need. Before we jump into the message today, though, I ask if you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would take my words and make them understandable to every person there, and that everyone here would be inspired to obey your call and not keep silent, but to go out and give this message of hope that we're going to talk about today. And Father, most of all, I ask that we would learn to draw closer to you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, to get a little context into the story today, I ask if you turn with your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 25 through 29. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25 through 29. Here Samaria was, right, they were under siege, and this is what is going on inside the city. And in verse 25 it says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was 5 pieces of silver." So this is what they were eating, all right? And how many would you like to go to the grocery store and be buying this for your meal? Pretty desperate situation, right? But it gets worse. Verse 26, "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord does not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give me thy son, that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, On the next day, give me thy son, that we may eat him. Wow. I don't think any more is needed to be said, right? They were in dire straits. Terrible, terrible situation. And this is where our story picks up. This is the situation that they were in and that these lepers found themselves in. Now, our story is going to be revolving around these lepers. Now, what do we know about lepers? Did a little bit of research, and basically, it wasn't a good thing to be a leper in Bible times. You were considered outcasts. You were hated by all. Even in some instances, many people believed that you were cursed by God to have leprosy, and you were shunned by everybody. I heard someone say that they would even have funerals for them before they would even die, and they would live many years after, but they would still have funeral because they might as well be dead to them. If you have leprosy. So these people were pretty bad off. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, 3 and 4, this is where our story will pick up. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Our four buddies, the lepers, are sitting outside the city and outside the city gate. Verse 3, it says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said unto one another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine in the city, we shall die there. If we sit still here, we will die. Now therefore, come, let us go unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall die." Now, the first thing I think we can learn from this story is that these lepers, they realized that they were going to die if they stayed where they are. They couldn't go back, and if they stayed where they are, they would die, right? And in our own walk, we need to realize that if we stay where we are, we will die. You see, the Christian walk is one that is ever growing. In Matthew, it says, "Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate that leads to what? Destruction, right? But narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life." Now, why do you think that is? You know, I believe many times it is because we're okay with where we're at. Like, oh, I'm fine. I'm happy with where I'm at. But we should, as these lepers, realize that if we stay where we are, if we live in sin, we are hopeless and we might as well be dead. It's kind of like smoking. If you don't realize smoking kills you and you keep on doing it, you end up dying from it. If we keep living in sin, it will eventually kill us. We need to make a stand for Christ. Now, continuing in verse 5, it says, "And there rose up at twilight," so these guys, they rose up in the morning to go into the camp of the Syrians. They decided to make a stand and go check out the Syrian camp. "And when they were come unto the uttermost parts of Syria, behold, there was no man there. The Lord had made a host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled at twilight into their tents, and their horses and their donkeys to the camp. And basically, they fled away, right? So these four guys, the four leopards, they're walking up to the camp. They're probably expecting maybe to be shot out or shot at or whatever, like, hey, you know, don't shoot us. And all of a sudden, there's nobody in the camp. They're surprised, right? Well, what happened? God had sent somehow they had heard in their minds the sound of an army coming, right? And they didn't even have time to get on their donkeys and run. They just took off and left everything behind. Now, when a city was under siege and an army was besieging a city, they would camp out there for many, many years. So basically, they would move there. All of their possessions would be there. There was lots and lots of material there at the camp that these lepers had found. And in verse 8, let's notice what the lepers do. And when these lepers came unto the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and did drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment. All right, so these guys are probably pretty excited. They hadn't had a good meal. They hadn't seen and had any good clothing. Probably hadn't had any material possessions at all. And they find this camp utterly deserted, right? And there's three lessons I'd like to bring out in this one verse that we can apply to our own lives. The first is that they were excited in their refreshments and food, right? Number two, they were excited or delighted in their riches. And number three, they delighted in their raiment, right? So the first one is they delighted in their food or refreshments, right? These guys, now I was talking to Dad last night. Well, actually we're sitting around the table and my sister had brought out a beautiful pot of chili that she had made. And Dad saw my eyes light up. He's like, wow, food really makes you excited, huh, Jared? Right? Well, I can imagine twice, right? Three times what my eyes or my stomach felt when I saw that chili in the minds of these lepers. They were thrilled. They were excited to see this food. Now, as Christians, what is our food? Spiritually speaking. God's Word, exactly, right? In, let's see, in Job 23 and verse 12, I find this very interesting. Job 23 and verse 12, Job talks about what is even more important to him than our necessary food. Job 23:12, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of my mouth more than my necessary food. So to Job, it was more exciting to him to be eating God's word, to be studying God's word, than even eating. And for us, I pray that we all can experience that as well. You know, there's a man in Oswego that I've been doing Bible studies with for a while. I met him while I was door knocking. And at first, it was a typical drop-off. And I would, you know, bring the lesson to him. He would give it back to me, filled out. But we wouldn't talk about it too much. But the more I gave him the Bible studies, the more he got more excited. I'd eventually start coming into his house. We'd talk about it for a while. And now, just last Thursday, I was talking with him, and you could see his eyes light up. He was really excited. He's like, Jared, this stuff is awesome. This stuff is amazing. And he's like, how did I not know this stuff before? And you could see the fire in his eyes, the excitement. Kind of like my eyes lit up for that chili last night, all right? And each and every one of us can have that excitement about God's word each and every morning, each and every day as we open up God's word. But why do we often lose that? Later on in the lesson, we'll talk about that a little bit. Why do we lose that fire for God as we first study His Word? Now, what is the second thing in this verse that we see that they delight in? They eat and drink, and they carried thence silver and gold and raiment. All right, so their riches. Now, when you think of somebody that's wealthy, what comes to mind? Maybe a big house, right? Maybe diamonds, a nice car, maybe lots of land, right? Good retirement plan, right? Maybe Tiger Woods comes to mind, right? Well, you know, Tiger Woods has one of the most amazing houses that you can think of. I look, it was like $40 million. It's an amazing house. And all the stuff in it, tennis courts, pools, tons of stuff. But you know what? Compared to my mansion in heaven, his place is ghetto. Seriously, right? We can delight in the riches that God has prepared for us, and also the riches that he has provided for us in our hearts, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, right? And also they delighted in their raiment or clothing, right? In the Bible, there's lots of symbolism. What does clothing represent in the Bible? Anybody remember? Maybe character, right? Character or our works. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. And there it describes what our clothing is like unto God, our spiritual clothing. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. It says, "But we are all unclean, and our righteousness are as filthy rags." So when we come to Jesus, and Jesus looks at us, when he sees us, he sees us like lepers, right? Wearing nothing but filthy rags. But the good news is we can rejoice because God has given us new clothing. Just like these lepers received brand new clothing, God has given us brand new spiritual clothing. Turn with me to Isaiah 64, verse 10, just back a few chapters. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. It says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful for my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." So we take on Christ's beautiful new clothing when we come to him. He gives us that robe of righteousness. So we no longer have to feel like wearing dirty, filthy rags. As Adventists, you know, we don't believe in once saved, always saved, right? So often we don't always feel the joy of the assurance of salvation. But you know, we can have the joy of salvation. We can have the assurance that today we are saved. Right here, Christ says we should be joyful and greatly rejoice because Christ has covered me with the garments of salvation. We can have joy because when we, each and every day, each and every moment, ask forgiveness for our sins, commit our lives completely to God, we can have the assurance that Christ's robe of righteousness covers our filthy rags and we are right with him. Amen? Amen. All right, so here in verse 8, we see things that they delight in. First, their refreshments. Second, their riches. And third, their raiment. And as they're delighting in these things, they then face a dilemma. What are we going to do with this? God has blessed us with all of these things. What are we going to do? And as we saw in our spiritual life, God has blessed each and every one of us with these blessings. And what are we going to do with them? Now back to 2 Kings chapter 7, and now in verse 9. "So they said one to another, 'We do not well. This is a day of great tidings, and we hold our peace.'" So they say, listen, guys, they were taking the food and hiding it, right? And they said, listen, guys, we do not well by hiding this. This is a day of great joy. And continuing in the verse, it says, "If we tarry till morning, some mischief will fall upon us." Like, we need to be careful here. We need to share this good news with others. I've been doing a Bible study with a lady for a while now, and she's also in Oswego. I was studying with her several weeks ago, and I hadn't told her anything about sharing what she's learned at all. We'd just been going through all of the Bible studies, the truths in the Bible, and she came out of the blue. You know, she'd been accepting all of the truths, and out of the blue, just a couple of weeks ago, she comes to me, she says, "I need to start sharing what I'm learning. I need to start telling other people." Right? Just like these lepers, they found these amazing blessings, And they realize that they need to start telling somebody else about that. And we must also do the same. When I was talking about Mike, I was talking about how on fire he was for God, right? And I think many of us who have at least been in the church for a while, we've seen these new believers come into the church. They're on fire for God. And you see them excited about sharing about all these things. And then what happens? It fizzles out, right? Why does that happen often? Well, I like to use the illustration of a hose, right? I like to play ball. As I did growing up, I'd play ball out in our yard and have so much fun that I forget to drink, right? And pretty soon in the hot sun, I get so thirsty, I don't even have time to go in and get a proper glass of water, right? See the hose there? Run over the hose to get a drink. But that hose had been sitting in the sun for who knows how long, right? So I go to put the hose to my mouth to drink that water, ready to be refreshed, and it comes into my mouth and I'm like, oh, that's terrible tasting stuff, right? And I've been sitting for a long time, it just tastes terrible. But if I let that water run for a while, what happens? It becomes fresh, right? You know, I think as Christians, many times someone walks into the church and many of the people sitting in the pews kind of look like my face did when I get that water. You know, just terrible. It's because they aren't sharing what they're learning, right? It's not allowing the water to flow. And the excitement continues when we're sharing what we're learning, right? And I think many times we get in a rut and we're not sharing what God has given to us, the blessings that God has given. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. This is an example of where Jesus called us to share the blessings that God has given us. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." Now, as I was preparing the sermon and I read this, something immediately came to mind. Taco Bell. Why? Well, I love Taco Bell. And whenever I drive by Taco Bell, my mouth begins to water. Just the taste of that burrito melting in my mouth, scrumptious, right? Why? Well, someone once told me that there's enough sodium in a bean burrito to last me the entire day, is what I'm supposed to have an entire day. I try not to listen to that, but there's lots of salt in those burritos, right? And pretty much anything that tastes good, there tends to be lots of salt in that, right? And yeah, you know. And the salt is what makes the flavor burst, right? So here, God is calling us to be little Taco Bells, right? Whenever I drive by Taco Bell, I want some of it, right? Well, whenever someone talks to us, whenever someone comes in contact with us, they should want what we have. They should want that burrito bursting with the flavor of God's word, right? You'll never think of Taco Bell the same. All right, continuing in our lesson today, these individuals, they realized that they needed to share, right? These lepers, they needed to share, as we should also. Now, what did they decide to do? They decided in verse 10 to go and share and act upon their conviction. 2 Kings 7 and verse 10. "So they came and called the porter of the city, and they told them the sayings that we came into the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither the voice, but horses had tied and asses tied, and the tents were as they were." So they come to the camp, so they come to the city and they share the good news that they had found. Now, in sharing this news, it involved three things. It involved courage, involved compassion, which then led to, in our Christian walk, leads to conversion. First thing is courage. To be able to share what they had found, they had to be very courageous. Now, if you remember, these guys were lepers. They had been rejected by those in the city. And to approach the city, I'm sure they had the fear of rejection, right? Fear of maybe being laughed at or even killed, right? They had many fears. It took courage to go up and tell the city about the blessings that they had found. And you know, as we share the good news that Christ has given us, Christ will also give us the courage to do that as well. I was walking down the street in the summertime, taking surveys, right? Going door to door. And now when I do door to door, I'm usually, you know, in the city, and many people often walk by on the sidewalk. And it's just really uncomfortable for me to approach somebody on a sidewalk. I'd rather just knock on the door and have them open. Just to approach someone and say, hey, you want to take my survey? It's awkward, right? It takes courage to approach someone. I still don't always do it just because it's not always the best way to reach that person. I might knock on their door later. But I felt impressed to approach this one lady walking down the street. And, you know, I had a little fear, you know, that I had to ask the Lord for courage to go and talk to her. But by God's grace, He gave me the courage. I was able to go talk to her. She then took a survey. I offered she would be interested in free Bible studies. She signed up. And as I started doing Bible studies with her, she began to learn more and more and become more and more excited. And now I've been doing Bible studies with her for a good 6-7 months. She's accepted all of the truths. And by God's grace, hopefully soon she will make a commitment for baptism, right? But if God had not given me the courage to approach that lady, if I'd have said, and go and do the next door, never had the opportunity, right? God will give us the courage if we ask. And it also involved compassion. These men had been rejected, shunned by the people of that city. They could have easily said, let them die. They deserve it, right? But they had compassion. They had love. And they went up to the city and shared the good news that they had found. You know, in evangelism, it takes love, compassion. And it's not something that we can make up ourselves. It's something we need to ask Christ for. We need to look in, when we look in someone's eyes, we need to see it through the eyes of Jesus, right? Ask Jesus to help us see them through His eyes. He died for that individual. He gave everything for that person. And we can't just approach and say, maybe encourage them in some way or share Christ with them, share the good news with them. Also, compassion there involves perseverance as well, not giving up. Jesus never gave up on us. Why should we give up on our friends, our loved ones? I was following up on a Bible study card. This lady had sent in for a Bible study card. And I knocked on her door. She signed up for Bible studies. I did like the first 3 in-home Bible studies with her. And she just was like sleeping through the Bible studies. I mean, not literally, but you know, she wasn't there. You'd ask her a question and she wouldn't reply. And it was just like, I'm wasting her time. She's wasting my time. Why really even bother? And I had a lot of Bible studies at that point, but I felt the Lord impressing me to continue the Bible studies, not to give up. That's my child too, the Lord says, right? So I continued doing Bible studies with her. She started to grow a little more interested. She came to the seminar. And after the seminar, we continued Bible studies. And by God's grace, last month, she was baptized. All right? God will give us compassion and perseverance. And we should just ask and pray for it. And He will give it, just like He gave the lepers perseverance and compassion as well. This will then lead to to conversion. The four lepers, they refused to hoard the blessings that God had given them. And because of their commitment, the whole entire city was saved. God is calling each and every one of us today not to hoard the blessings that He has given us, and not to keep silent. You see, today is a day of glad tidings, as it said in verse 9 of 2 Kings. Today is a day of glad tidings. Jesus is coming soon. And it's not the day to keep silent, not the time to keep silent. And, you know, a lot of times people use the excuse, well, I'm not qualified, right? The common excuse. Give me a break, right? These were lepers, and they were able to change the outlook of life for an entire city. Lepers were outcasts, hated by all. They're the last people in the world you would think would be able to help somebody else. And yet, God used them. And God can use each and every one of us as well. May not be in some extravagant manner of saving thousands like Doug Batchelor, but do you know, there's someone in your life that you can reach that Doug Batchelor, Mark Finley, any of the great evangelists in the world, they might not be able to reach that person, but God put you in that situation to reach that person. Right? And Christ is willing to help you as well to not keep silent. You know, maybe today feel the Holy Spirit inspiring you to maybe go talk to that person, encourage that one person that you have been thinking about for a while. Don't keep silent. Maybe there's someone that asks you to do Bible studies with them, but you're afraid. God will give you the courage. Don't keep silent. Maybe even you were impressed as you watched the video about the tabernacle that will be coming to Clay. Maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you to help out with that. Don't keep silent. Follow the example of the lepers. Go help out. Maybe the Holy Spirit's even calling you to come out and do door knocking with me or something. Don't keep silent. Whatever it may be, follow the Lord and don't keep silent. He will give you the strength. Our closing hymn, it says, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Christ gave everything to give us the chance to be saved. The least we can do is not keep silent. And in the process of doing that, we are saved. So my challenge to you today is to not keep silent, but go out and change the world for Christ. If it's your desire not to keep silent, please stand as we sing our closing hymn. Number 281, I gave my life for thee. Number 281. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave all for us. And Lord, we all here want to follow the example of the lepers. Lord, you use them to change a city, to bring a message of hope to a city in need. And here today, Lord, I pray that you will use us to change a world in need, a county in need, maybe even a friend in need, whatever it may be, Lord. I ask that you use each and every one of us, and that you would give us the courage, the love, the compassion that we need to not keep silent. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.